Today we begin our study of Mishnayos Maseches Bikurim, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, and Mishnah Beis. This is Tzvi Hirsch Weinreb, and I will be studying this Maseches together with you. There's a mitzvah in the Torah which appears several times, briefly in Parshas Mishpotim and in Parshas Korach, and at some length at the very beginning of Parshas Kisavo, that a person should bring his first fruits to Yerushalayim to the Kohen. This is only true of the first fruits of the Shiva Minim, the seven species, Shenishtapcho Bahem Eretz Yisrael, the seven species by which the land of Israel is praised, and those seven species are wheat and barley, grapes, the vine, figs, pomegranates, olives, and dvash, or honey, which means dates. Person brings, this is among the gifts which one brings to the Kohen, she'ein lohem shiur, there's no minimum amount or maximum amount involved in giving bikurim, although the Yerushalmi does bring a brisa which says that the Chachamim did require a shiur of 1/60. Besides the mitzvah of havoas bikurim, of bringing bikurim from your farm at Eretz Yisrael to Yerushalayim to the Kohen, there's also a mitzvah of mikra bikurim, of reading the verses of Parshas Bikurim, in which you praise the Ribono Shel Olam for all the good that he has done to us, his people, and to me, the farmer who's bringing this particular gift of Bikurim. This mitzvah of Mikra Bikurim is sometimes called Vidui al HaBikurim. Vidui does not mean confession, but rather it's related to the word Hodo'o or Hodoyo, which means thanksgiving. We will learn in detail the various laws about Havo'as Bikurim, bringing Bikurim, and Mikra Bikurim, reading the Parsha, reading the Psukim, which express one's thanks to the Ribono Shel Olam for the bounty which the Ribono Shel Olam has bestowed upon him. The Mishnah begins, Perek Rishon, Mishnah Aleph. Yesh Mevi'in Bikurim Bekorin. There are those who are required to bring Bikurim and who are permitted to read the Parsha, to read the words of praise. There are others, Mevi'in Velo Korin. There are those who must bring Bikurim, but they're not permitted to read the Parsha. The Parsha does not apply to them. V'yesh she'enon mevi'in. And there are those farmers who may have a crop but who aren't required to bring Bikurim at all. So we have these three categories. The Mishnah goes now to begin to describe that latter, last category, elu she'enon mevi'in. People who plant and have a crop but do not bring Bikurim. And as we will see in the next Mishnah, the Mishnah Aleph is giving examples of a crop which is not really belonging to the person who planted it. And when one gives Bikurim, the requirement is, according to the Pasuk in Parshas Mishpotim, that's Shemos Perek Chof Gimel, Pasuk Yutes, Reishis Bikurei Admosecha, you must give the beginning, the first ripening of the fruits of your land. But if it's not the fruits of your land, there's no obligation to bring Bikurim. And so, Hanotea l'sok shelo, if a person plants a tree, a netia, in his own property, the property which belongs to him, but v'hivrich l'sok shel yochid o shel rabim, the process of hivrich or havrocha is to take, for example, a long twig from a grapevine. The grapevine is standing in your farm, and you take the grapevine and put it under the ground of another person next to you, and then it comes up again from under the ground. So it sprouts forth after you bend it over into the ground and up again. It's up again in the field of another person. So it may be planted. The basic tree is planted in your property, but the actual growth of this particular vine is in the other person's property or in public property, then there is no requirement of bikurim because it didn't grow in totally in your property. Similarly, if Natia or young tree is standing in someone else's property or in public property, and you take a strand or a branch from the vine and put it under the ground and up again so that the up again is in your property. So even though the growth is in your property, but the ultimate source of the growth is in someone else's property, that's not admosecha, that's not totally your land, and therefore you're exempt from bikurim. Similarly, according to the Tanakhama, suppose you have a farm on both sides of a street or both sides of another person's property. You're like the bread of the sandwich, and the public property or another individual's property is between your two pieces of land. So you take the natia, the actual tree, is in your property. You put it under the ground, and it goes all the way under the ground, under this intervening road or path which belongs to the rabbim or some other yochid. And then it pops up again in your own property across the street. Still, according to the Tanna Kamma, there's no requirement of bringing bikurim. If you went under, the intervening property is not yours, and therefore it doesn't qualify as admosecha, as totally your property. So that, Hanotea letok shalo, he planted the tree, the ikor tree, in his property. V'hivrich letok shalo, and he bent it under the ground, and it came back up again on his property across the street. V'derech hayochid v'derech horabim b'emtza, but the street or the path between your two pieces of land belongs to some other individual, the yochid, or belongs to the public, the rabbim, hareze eino mevi. In such a case, you do not bring bikurim, not from the natiya, the main tree, and not from the brecha, because, as the Yerushalmi puts it, the tree and the brecha, the tree and this little twig that's now growing in the anew in this new piece of land, are both getting nurtured. Their roots are under the ground, which does not belong to you, and therefore they are being sustained by someone else's property, public property, or another person's property, and therefore it's not admosecha, and you're exempt. However, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kozeh Mevi. Rabbi Yehuda says in this latter case, when your two pieces of land are on both sides of an intervening derech, and the twig is going under the ground, all the way under the public property, you do have to bring bikurim. And the Mefarshim explain, Yerushalmi explains, that Rabbi Yehuda here follows the opinion of Rabbi Eleza in the Mishnah of the third parak of Baba Basra, who says that it's permitted to use the underground of public property as long as you don't interfere with the strength of the ground up above, so that I am permitted to dig a little tunnel under the public street and use the earth of that tunnel as long as the ground above my tunnel is strong enough to support the traffic going on the public street. So that's the Machlokas Tanna Kamma, says no, if it's getting its nurturance from public property, so you're exempt from bikurim. And Rabbi Yehuda, who says no, it's permitted to have your plants suck up the nutrients of the soil, of the public soil, as long as you don't interfere with the top, the exposed surface of the public property. Mishnah Bay simply explains the reason and gives some other examples of those who do not bring bikurim. Why in the first Mishnah does he not bring bikurim from these various scenarios of the havrocha? Because the pasuk reads again in Parshas Mishpatim, Reishis Bikurei Admosecha, it must be your land. And in the examples given in Mishnah Aleph, it's not totally your land. Ad sheyihyu kol hagidulin me'admosecha. All the growth must come from land which you, Yankel Beryl Shmerel, owns by yourself. And therefore, ho arisin, someone who's a sharecropper, it's my land, but this fellow comes to me and makes me a deal. He'll till the soil, and he'll give me 50% of the produce, 25% of the produce. Fine. It's a nice arrangement, but this oris is not his land, and therefore he does not bring bikurim. v'hechachoros, those who rent land. In other words, a person comes over to me, I own this farm, and he says, I will give you 30 bushels, not a percentage, but I'll give you a fixed amount, 30 bushels of wheat, if you let me till the land and keep the rest. And I say, yes, fine, nice arrangement, but he does not have to bring bikurim, it's not his. It's not admoscha. And similarly, v'hasikrikun are bandits, highwaymen, who threaten people who own farms, threaten the farmers and say, Mr. Farmer, we want your land, get off of it. And we presume that the farmer hopes that one day he'll be able to bring this guy to court and kick him off the property. So the property does not belong to the sikrikun, does not belong to the bandits. And similarly, v'hagazlon, a person is a thief and just enters someone else's property, kicks off the farmer or ignores the farmer, or the farmer is across the sea, and he tills that soil. Not the gazlan, doesn't belong to the thief, and therefore the thief does not bring bikurim. Ein mivian, meyoso hatam. They also do not bring bikurim for the same reason. Mishum shenema reishis bikurei admosecho. You only bring the first fruits of your land. And in all these various cases, it is not the land of the person who's planting and reaping and harvesting, but rather it belongs to the ultimate owner, and therefore those who are rightly or wrongly, but not fully owning the land, do not bring bikurim. And so we have finished lesson number 1.